Right, good morning. I guess I was trying to make sure I was up next, just in case somebody decided to come up and sing, you know, before me. But Brother Peoples, I know maybe you're eager to hear me sing today, but I think it's best if, you know, I let somebody else sing today. Thank you, Brother Peoples. Such a blessing to be with you here this morning, and I thank the Lord Jesus for this opportunity. Thank Pastor Gillett, of course, Dr. Weaver, whose class this is, and thank you for being here this morning to study the Word of God and hear more of the Word of God. I would ask you please to open your Bibles to James chapter 3. James chapter 3, and I will be reading verses 13 through 17. Now, in this class, you were supposed to be in lesson 3, but today we're in lesson 4 because as Brother Wilder's been away, I've been teaching his class, and we're in lesson 4 today, and they're joining us. So today we're jumping to lesson 4. That's why it's James chapter 3, verse 13 through 17. If you're following along in your books, taking notes. So I believe next week you'll jump back to lesson 3. So just in case, I don't want you to be confused by that, but that's the reason why we have an extra class with us today. So James chapter 3, verse 13 through 17. Before I read, let's begin with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the privilege of studying your word and coming together, dear Lord. We thank you so much, Lord, that you've given us the health, your mercies, and life, Lord, to gather here to worship you and also to study your word. Lord, I pray that our hearts, we've prepared our hearts, Father, and have receptive hearts to receive your word and act upon it. Lord, I ask you now to help me, to anoint me with your Holy Spirit, that everything I say and do would be according to your will and for your glory. Lord, help us to be edified this morning and challenged, convicted. If there's anyone here, Father, who's not trusted Christ as their Savior, I ask you that today they would receive Christ. Father, may you be honored and glorified and bless Dr. Weaver as he's away and also Pastor Gillett. Bless them and help them to return safely and bless them to services today. All these things I ask in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. The Bible says in James chapter 3, verse 13 through 17, "Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy." We see here in our text, it is talking about wisdom and a contrast between two different types of wisdom. One wisdom that comes from God, God's wisdom, and the other wisdom that is earthly, devilish, that is sensual, that is from this world. Of course, if we are to be rooted in Christ, and what we're talking about in our series, Fruit by the Bushel, today the title is Rooted in Christ's Wisdom. If we are to be rooted in Christ and His wisdom, we must ask God for wisdom. We must trust the Lord that He will provide that wisdom. We must stay in the Word of God. And so we must be rooted in Christ's wisdom to produce fruit that glorifies God in our life. Now, every day we face situations that perhaps we've not faced before, maybe some that we have faced before, but many times things come up. It could be small things, big things, important decisions that we might have to make that you're facing today, maybe trials, health issues, financial issues, whatever it may be. We need wisdom in every area of our life, and from being young to old, whatever age we are, we need God's wisdom for daily decisions. There's not one day that we should live without wisdom. If today you're here and you're not sure, you've not received Christ as your Savior, the first thing, the wisest thing to do is to trust Him as your Savior, because if you want God's wisdom, first of all, you need to know that have Jesus as your personal Savior. That is the first thing. Well, we must handle decisions and circumstances God's way in His perspective. That is what wisdom is, seeing things through God's eyes, God's perspective on things. What is His perspective? What is His outlook? What does He see? How does God see it? We should not do things based on what comes natural. Or how I feel, my gut feeling, what my flesh wants, just to go with the flow, just to go with what everybody else is doing or thinks. We need to have God's wisdom. The other day when I was coming back from work, it was about 10:30 at night, and I was not a couple miles from home, and I was getting off from the freeway from I-20, and I noticed the light came on in the car showing that my tire was getting low, and I said, oh no, here we go again, another flat tire. Since I've had the car I've had like 3 flat tires. This was my third. So I asked, well, thank the Lord it happened where it did. You know, in each case it's always been that way, that God, it didn't happen someplace that would have been really bad. It's right at the right place at the right time. So I asked, Lord, give me wisdom where should I go and change this tire? Well, so I made it to the gasoline station, the QT there on Little Road, and I stopped there and checked all the air in the tires and figured out which one it was because it wasn't completely flat yet. So I decided to change the tire. And while I was there, a young man also came and he went to check the air in his tires. And that gave me the opportunity to give a track to him, invite him to church and talk to him. Now, probably the reason why I had that flat tire is because God wanted me to be there that day to give him a track and for him to have a gospel witness. And really, that is worth having as many flat tires as is necessary. If that, you know, that is God's purpose. So we see whether it's, you know, we're faced with a difficulty, a flat tire, something major, a major decision, health issues that you have today, or whatever it is, we need God's wisdom. And we should not trust ourselves. We need to be rooted in Christ. Now, the world, you know, shouts at us with its wisdom and its ideas and its philosophies and its ways of doing things. Colossians 2:8 says, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. We see there's a philosophy we can choose from the world. This philosophy is deceptive. It follows the world's thinking, man's traditions, what the flesh says, what the devil says, what he wants. But we need God's wisdom to make the right decision, and we need to be rooted in Christ. The world's wisdom shouts at us, whether it's through television and radio, internet, books, magazines, whatever it is, all around us every day. We see it and we're influenced by it. That is why we must begin every day in the Word of God and in prayer. We must begin every day knowing that we're rooted in Christ and close to Him, because we will face all of this onslaught from the world. Now, in James 1:5, it says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Now, the world's wisdom shouts at us, but God's wisdom is waiting for us. The Bible says if we need wisdom, we should ask of God. If we lack wisdom, we have to acknowledge, first of all, that we must acknowledge first that we need wisdom, that we need God. And then humbly ask the Lord to give us wisdom. When Solomon went to ask the Lord for wisdom, the Lord was pleased. God granted his request. So we know God was pleased with his request and granted his request. It is God's will for us to have his wisdom, and it is God's will for him to give us his wisdom. So how do we apply this to our life? Well, we have that confidence then that we can go to God and ask for wisdom, and he'll give it to us because that is his will. He wants us to have his wisdom. He wants us to acknowledge that we need him every day and that we cannot live without his wisdom. Do you acknowledge today that you need his wisdom? I sure do. So many times I remember, you know, and think of, Lord, I did it because this is what I thought, or my gut feeling, or I felt this way. I didn't ask for your wisdom. And afterward, you know, the regrets and like, okay, I have to learn from this situation and grow. Well, we need God's wisdom. So here we examine in the contrast between the world's wisdom and God's wisdom, and that it is essential that we walk in God's wisdom. Roman number 1 is a demonstration of godly wisdom. The demonstration of godly wisdom. There in verse 13. So wisdom is not just what that we say we're wise. It's demonstrated. It's lived out. Letter A, it is shown by our works. In our works. It is shown in our works. Verse 13. Who is a wise man endued with knowledge among you? So we see here this verse asks a question, and it also answers the question. It says, let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. So who is wise? Who is the wise man and dude who has knowledge among you? Who is it? It is the one that shows out of a good conversation. That word conversation means lifestyle or conduct, what we do. Our, a good conversation, his works, with meekness of wisdom. So we have meekness that proceeds from wisdom. God controls us. We are yielded and humble under him. He has control of our lives. We have his wisdom. Now this goes back to James chapter 3, verse 1. It says, my brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. Now speaking there of master, of course, master means a teacher, one who has the ability to teach and give encouragement and knowledge. So verse 13 then describes how this godly master is. He is endued with knowledge. He has knowledge and he lives that knowledge with wisdom. He shows that he has that knowledge of God by living wisely. Now we see there are many men in the Bible that we can go to and look who had wisdom. One of those, I think, of course, is the prophet Daniel. Remember, whenever Nebuchadnezzar dreamed a dream, he couldn't remember his dream there in Daniel chapter 2. So he asked all his wise men to come and say, okay, not only do I want you to give me the interpretation, tell me what it was I dreamed. And they said, well, we can't do that. You know, no man can do that. So finally he called Daniel, and Daniel, what did he say to the king, Nebuchadnezzar? In verse 28 of Daniel chapter 2, but there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets. So Nebuchadnezzar, it's not me, it is God. And maketh known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. So we see the prophet Daniel said, you know, it's not me, it's not because I have, it doesn't come from me, it is from God. He recognized by his saying and by his actions that he was wise and given God the glory through his works. So he gave God the credit for his wisdom. And as I mentioned, of course, there the conversation in verse 13 is our walk, it's our lifestyle, the way we live and what we do. Philippians 1:27, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. There's our conduct. Our testimony should be given the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, that people might know how to be saved. Telling others how Jesus died for our sins, was buried, and rose again the third day, that they might be saved. Others should be drawn to Christ by our life, by our wisdom. They should see, you know what, you are different. You think differently, you do things differently, you look differently. There's something special, but what is it? I'd like to know. So it is that is what we should cause in other people, to draw them to Christ. It should become the gospel. It should be our lifestyle, should be showing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, when we're not living according to the wisdom of Christ, or not what we're not living according to what we say, but we are living according to our flesh, then it also shows, and we will not be the witness for Christ that we should be. Well, we also see letter B, it is shown in our spirit. So the demonstration of godly wisdom not only is in our works, but in our spirit. Last part of verse 13, then it says, let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. Our spirit will also indicate whether we are walking with God or not. Now we're affected, it affects us what we take in. In our heart. The Bible says that we should guard our heart because out of it are the issues of life. Now, if we spend time in the Word of God, it gives us great peace. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. So the Word of God gives us great peace. Are you troubled today? Are you afflicted, bothered by something? Then spend a lot of time in the Word of God and a lot of time in prayer. The Word of God gives us peace. But if we go, we have that peace, and we walk into a store where they have heavy metal rock and roll music, we're not going to come out of there the same as we went in. We'll come out troubled, afflicted, like, okay, I want to get out of here as fast as I can. Okay, it bothers us. If you go in a restaurant and it's, you know, hyped up music and it's irritating and thump, thump, thump. Sometimes our neighbors play that kind of music, you know, drum beats and it. And especially on Sunday night, you know, when you want to get some rest and be able to wake up fresh in the morning and come to church, and that's when Satan has them put on that music, and it troubles you. You do not, it affects you. So whatever we let come in affects us. So if we're not in the Word of God, it reflects in our life. But if we are, we have great peace and can be and are rooted in Christ's wisdom. How do we identify someone who's seeking wisdom? Well, we know that if they're seeking wisdom from above, recognizing we can't do it on our own, we're asking God for wisdom. Well, also we seek godly counsel. Proverbs 11:14 says, where no counsel is, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. So first of all, seek God's counsel, his word, but also those that walk with God, that have a testimony of God's wisdom. Ask Dr. Barber, ask Pastor Gillett, ask Dr. Weaver, ask others in the church that you know have years walking with the Lord, are wise. And many of you, of course, I can ask advice and get counsel from you. So we should ask godly counsel. We also see that we admit failure. If we're seeking God's wisdom, we also are honest with ourselves and with God. If we have sinned, we recognize, admit our sins to God. We confess it, our failures, and know we need the Lord. Romans 12:3 says, for I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. So we ought not to think more of ourselves than what we ought to, but to look at ourselves in the light of God's word and how God sees us. Also, someone that's looking for wisdom defers credit or gives credit to others rather than oneself. 1 Corinthians 4:7, for who maketh thee to defer from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? What do I have that God has not given to me? Every good gift and every perfect gift cometh from above, from the Father of lights, with whom no shadow of turning. And we see that every perfect gift and good thing comes from God, whatever it may be. I can't take credit for any of it. Now, whatever bad decision and things I make, I can take credit for that. Every bad decision or fall or stumble, I take credit for that. But every good thing, we give God the glory and must. We give God the glory for our successes, and we show that we're seeking for wisdom. We give him the glory for our victories, our successes, the accomplishments. 1 Corinthians 1:31 says, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Maybe you're feeling discouraged this morning. Maybe you feel disappointed with yourself. You know, thank God we can confess our sins, and he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, to cleanse us from all iniquity. And he is faithful to help us and give us the wisdom that we need. But you know, if you feel discouraged this morning, just give God the glory. Glory in the Lord. See, I know I'm imperfect. I know that I fail in many ways. But God is always faithful. He never fails. We can always trust in him. We can always depend on him. He will never fail us. He will never forsake us or leave us. So we must glory in him. Roman numeral 2, the devaluation of godly wisdom. So we've seen there in verse 13, a demonstration of God's wisdom, but verse 14 through 16, the devaluation of godly wisdom. Now our goal to demonstrate godly wisdom doesn't thrive free from Satan's attack. He wants us to make us look like fools if he can. He wants us to become angry with our spouse. He wants us to maybe treat our children in anger or not nurture them in the Lord or not help them grow spiritually. He wants us to gossip about somebody else, another church member, or maybe somebody we work with. He wants us to make us look like fools instead of wise. So Satan will oppose us and attack you at every turn as much as he can. How much more we need to be rooted in Christ and have his wisdom. So in these cases, if we do that, if we do those bad things, we're going contrary to God's wisdom. But you know, all we have to do is ask God. It is ours for the asking, his wisdom. But when we devalue his wisdom, we decide to live earthly. We decide to live in a sensual way, in a devilish manner. That is reflecting worldly wisdom. Well, how do we devalue that wisdom or God's wisdom or not value his wisdom and choose worldly wisdom? We see letter A, it is devalued when we are divisive. It is devalued when we are divisive. There's verse 14, but if ye have bitter envying and strife. So there we see the division. Bitter envying and strife. In your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. Now, we don't have to go, bitter envying and strife is just a desire to put ourselves forward. It can also be like a fractious spirit causing a lot of division. Now, we can see that very clearly every time election time Now it's not even election time. It seems like all the time there is a very divided spirit even in our country today, and it's becoming worse. Where does that come from? That does not come from God. That is the earthly, devilish, sensuous wisdom of this world. So we see the horrible effects of this, you know, of this world and that type of thinking, and that it is divisive and it is bad. We think of a married couple that if they live in God's wisdom, obey His commandments, and show love one toward another, meekness, the relationship, their marriage is blessed. But when there's strife and envy, and they hurt their marriage. So it is that in marriage we need wisdom. Also there in our text it says that we should glory not. There it says, glory not and lie not against the truth. In other words, we should steer clear from selfish ambition. Steer clear from pride and from our own personal or selfish or carnal ambitions when it's related to the flesh. Now, if our desires, we delight ourselves in the Lord, and our desires are His desires, then those are the right kinds of things, you might say in reference to ambition, is doing what God wants me to do. That's the right thing we should glory in, is doing God's will. Another evidence of divisiveness, of course, is the increase of lies, because it says, and lie not against the truth. So we see the increase of lies. Well, is there plenty of lying going on around us today? Yes, I think so. Well, for example, there was two men that were applying for the same job, and on completing the test, you know, both men had answered 9 of them correct and 1 of them wrong. But to one of the men, the hiring manager said, you know, well, sorry, sir, but we've chosen the other man for this position, this job. And he's like, well, why? Because, you know, we both had 9 answers correct and only had 1 wrong. I mean, why are you choosing him instead of me? He said, well, on question number 5, which you both missed, he answered, I don't know. But you answered, neither do I. So he was just copying and cheating, looking off the other tests. And so that is why he's not getting the job. What we see here, lies. He was lying. Well, we see letter B. The wisdom that is from God, it can be devalued or not valued because when we are devilish. Devilish. There, verse 15 through 16. So it's referring that we resort to devilish tactics. Verse 14, but if you have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth, this wisdom descendeth not from above. So it is not of God. And it is described as it is earthly, sensual, devilish. Well, we think of this word devilish, referring to the god of this world, or Satan. 2 Corinthians 4:4, in whom the god of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. So Satan blinds the hearts of men that they not hear the gospel and be saved. That is his tactic. So we also see that the devil's tactics are expressed in another 2 words, earthly and sensuous. Well, earthly refers to the rudiments of this world, doing things in the flesh and doing things the way the world would do them and thinking the way the world thinks. But also we see, of course, the word sensual. This Greek word has the idea of, you know, it's a principle of animal life, doing that which comes naturally. So it just, you know, think of the Nike saying, you know, just do it. Whatever comes naturally, as in what the flesh would do. And we see that. Well, if someone, you know, I'm at work and someone says something mean to me, my natural reaction would be I say something mean to them, right? Sometimes they throw bolts at each other. We're not supposed to do that. We're supposed to get in trouble. Someone throws a bolt at me and I throw a bolt back at them. I'm doing what comes naturally. But instead of giving them a bolt, I come and give them a cupcake. That's doing what's unnatural, right? Showing love and kindness and forgiveness to that person. So we're not to have this kind of earthly wisdom. Devilish, that means resembling or proceeding from an evil spirit. Or also that Greek word is just simply demonic. It is from Satan. This type of wisdom is from Satan. We should not allow ourselves to think as the world thinks, or seek after the world's wisdom, but start every day and live every day in God's wisdom. We see last of all in Roman numeral 3 in verse 17, the dignity of godly wisdom. the dignity of godly wisdom. Verse 17 says, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. We see Colossians 2:3, in whom we are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. It is in God that is hid the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Do we desire wisdom and knowledge? Then we must walk with God. Then we must find it in His Word. We must find it in prayer. That's the only place to find it. You will not find it in, well, there are secular educational institutions. You will not find it in government. You won't find it in any other place. You would only find it in the Lord. So we see God's wisdom as pure. But the wisdom that's from above is first pure. It has no shadow, no carnality. It is pure, reverential, free of pride and divisiveness. So someone that has wisdom shows that they're also pure. They're not dividing or gossiping or talking wrong with someone else. They have a pure wisdom. It is also peaceable, letter B. It is peaceable. God's wisdom brings peace. So many of our trials, discomforts, miscommunications, family struggles, sometimes problems at work, problems with neighbors, come as a result of absence of God's wisdom in our life. But when we have God's wisdom, we can make peace. We forgive. And we can be at peace with each other. So if we have God's wisdom, we have God's peace. Well, we see there are three types of peace. There's a peace with God, Romans 5:1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So we see, therefore, salvation is first of all needed to have peace with God. But we can also have the inner peace that God gives us. When we fully trust the Lord in our hearts and our minds are trusting completely in God. Philippians 4:6, be careful for nothing. Don't be anxious, don't be worried, don't worry about anything. But in everything by prayer, it says in everything, whatever your trial is, whatever your need is, in everything, in whatever situation you find yourself, then we are to pray. By prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. So whatever you have today, bring it to God. He wants you to talk to Him. He wants you to share with Him whatever your burden or your problem is. And He is more than able and capable of helping you and wants to help you. You know, when we have that peace, that can reflect to the world around us. One of my people I work with, she's basically one of a team leader and kind of my supervisor, my other boss. She's talking about all the problems in the world, and she said one day, the threats of either nuclear war and all those things, well, I need to probably build a bomb shelter. And I'm thinking, no, that will not help. So if you do have a bomb shelter and you have some food to last you for a year, and once that's finished, then what? If everything on the outside is destroyed and there's nothing growing, and you go outside and you're going to be affected by, the nuclear fallout and you're going to die anyway, what kind of shelter is that? The only true shelter we can shelter ourselves in is Christ. So even if the bombs do fall, we know where we're going. And we can pillow our heads at night and be at peace. We can come to church, go wherever we need to go and be at peace. That is the shelter which we need. If we have the peace of God, His wisdom, we can have true peace. And also we have peace with others. We can have peace with others. Matthew 5:9. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. So truly one that is a genuine peacemaker has to be one that is a child of God, in which the Holy Spirit dwells and controls that child. And that is those of us who can be truly peacemakers. Certainly, if we have Jesus, we see that we can be at peace with others. There was a mother that made some pancakes for her two boys. One of her sons named Kevin, he was 5 years old, and the other one was Ryan, he was 3 years old. And so they were discussing who was going to get the first pancake. And there was a, Ryan and Kevin, they're like, okay, no, I get it first. So their mom said, you know what, if Jesus were here, he would say, you get the first pancake. The Lord will give up the pancake, give it to the other one. So then the older one, Kevin, said to Ryan, Ryan, you be Jesus. I said, oh. So Kevin knew how to play that, right? He's like, I'm going to make sure you be Jesus, you know, and I get the first pancake. Well, we see that we can be peacemakers. Say, you know what? You first, not me. We also see that God's wisdom, it is patient. There in the scripture, it says that it is gentle. It is easy to be entreated. That just means it's fair, compliant, being able to disagree without being disagreeable. Now, these, you know, that this kind of wisdom is tested, or is better shown when it's tested. Okay? Have you ever worked with anybody that is disagreeable, that's not easy to be entreated? It seems like in the spur of the moment, they get angry at you or they get frustrated at you. Well, the same person I'm talking about that I work with, like if I need something and call for her to come, most of the time she's doing something else, or normally they're either on their cell phone or watching something on a tablet or a football game. So the first thing her face is not like smiling and happy to help you. It's, why are you bothering me? Why are you troubling me? Why are you drawing me away from what I want to be doing? So it is, it's not a person that's easy to be entreated. But what a difference it is when the person comes and says, may I help you? How can I help you? What can I do to make your day better? How may I be an encouragement to you? What do you need? Or when trying to teach, whether it's a child or someone else, that they willingly listen and they're of a peaceable spirit, humble spirit, listens, someone that follows instructions, someone that's easy to get along with. Well, that is true of our lives whenever we have God's wisdom, and He is in control of us. So it is a patient wisdom. It is also productive because we see there that it is full of mercy and good fruits. It's certainly full of mercy and also good fruits. It produces good fruits. We have a desire to witness, to teach, to share God's goodness with others, to share the gospel. Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another. In psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. So we see here teaching and admonishing one another. We produce good fruit. We also see letter E, it is without pretense. Because there in the scripture it says, without partiality, in verse 17, without partiality. That means, okay, we show that wisdom, it's wholehearted. It's not divided. You know, what you see is what you get. It's a genuine thing. Wholehearted. And also without hypocrisy. It is the genuine, the real McCoy. If you saw that pun, my name is the real McCoy. It's the real thing. 1 Peter 1:22, seeing you have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, sincere, genuine. See that ye love one another with a pure heart, fervently. Doesn't say casually, just a little bit. It says with a pure heart, fervently. So that love is to describe and be evident in the Christian's life, and that those that do not know Christ can see that we are the children of God because we love one another. Well, in conclusion, one of the signs of being rooted in Christ is a heart that seeks after wisdom. Are we seeking for God's wisdom? We see if we're truly growing in Christ, in His Word, we're going to be seeking after His wisdom. And one of those fruits is a happy spirit. A contented spirit. Proverbs 3:13 says, happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. Do you want to be blessed today? Do you want to be happy? Then ask God for wisdom, and He will give it to you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You for Your word. Thank You for Your wisdom. Lord, help us to apply it to our lives as we see, Lord, that we need Your wisdom. We need to grow in You and to be in Your word and in prayer. Lord, we need Your wisdom that we would, in every decision of our life, obey You and do Your will in our lives. Lord, I pray that that You would bless each and every one in class this morning, that You'll Be merciful to them. You know their needs and their burdens and the things they face, Father. But I pray that they've been encouraged this morning to seek your face. And know, Lord, that you're faithful and will help, Lord, and that we should cast all our cares upon you, Father, for you care for us and will give us the help and the wisdom that we need. Bless the service that is following. In Jesus' name I pray and ask these things. Amen.